Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm David.
And I'm Sherry.
We are talking today about something that's really fascinating to me that I've thought a lot about for a long time. I feel like we've talked a lot about sobriety and recovery. This is sort of what the podcast is about.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Recovery on both sides. So both partners.
Yeah.
And I've felt for a long time, actually, that we have so much good information, but in the work that I do, I felt like there wasn't enough of an emphasis somewhere. And so I'm always thinking about these things.
Yes, yep,
not,
you are.
Not at work, not doing therapy, just I'm always thinking about these things. And there's a concept that really grabbed my attention that we're going to talk about for
a little bit.
At least a couple episodes,
yeah. Probably.
At least, yeah. And this concept, as it relates to sobriety and recovery in addiction, is our desires. And the role that our truest, you could say, or deepest desires play in this process.
Yeah.
And I know Sherry's seen this, where someone comes in and seems like they have everything they need to be successful and make progress, but then we get stuck and it's kind of confusing why.
Right. They've got all the tools, they got all the resources, they could teach the lessons on it.
They've been doing it a long time. We tell them concepts and it's like, yeah, I know this stuff. And so we're left going, okay, then what exactly? And we did an episode before on the sobriety equation. You need for sobriety.
Yes.
So sobriety equals this plus this plus this.
Yes.
Super helpful episode, actually. I think it's a good one. Episodes. And so go back to that one. Episodes, for sure. I don't think we ever do an episode.
I know.
Maybe never have. I don't know. But
yeah.
So that's a good one to go back and listen to. But this one's going to spend a little more time on, you could say, the motivation part of that equation, but our desires, like our true desires.
Yeah. And this obviously isn't the only thing, right? We just talked about there's an equation and there's a lot of pieces. And when someone comes in and is struggling and is trying to figure out, like, why can't I seem to move through this when I have all these skills and tools and resources? You know, we're not saying this is like the 100% end all be all. This is the only thing that is this, you know, that's you need to adjust.
Right.
Right. But it is a big thing that we've noticed and that we've been talking about a lot is, oh, this is really fascinating that we think sometimes. And again, this is not just applicable to addiction.
Right.
Right. This is applicable to all kinds of things. So we're talking about it, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm feeling a little called on the carpet here in a couple of places in my life, right? What, you know, we think we want, we think our desire is for this thing, you know?
Right.
We have clients that come in and they're like, yeah, I'm doing all the things, and I'm not getting this goal. And, you know, David, I think you've had a couple of experiences where, as you've talked about it, it's been pretty clear that they think they want the sobriety, but they don't actually want the sobriety, right?
Yeah, it's like they want it, but they don't want it enough. Think of it like a band, how there's a first chair and a second chair.
Yes.
It's like you or a race. I think of like Ford v Ferrari, great movie. Let's say it's like a race and there's two cars. let's say it's like a race and there's two cars and they're kind of neck and neck. And sometimes one car is out ahead and sometimes the other car is out of head, out ahead. And so I don't think it's the absence of the desire, but it's not in the position you think it is. And a common example I give is like, somebody may say, I'm doing everything I can. I don't know why it's not working. Help me figure it out. This is a real mystery to me. Mm-hmm. And if you remember from the trust discussion, step 7 is a manage report where you share if you're managing or not. And what that means is if you're looking for more than 2 seconds sexually, or if you do a double take. Mm-hmm. At just as a measure of where your thoughts are, or you might say where your lust is.
Yep.
And you either say, I managed or I didn't. And I'll ask them.
Good grief. Like, this is such a new concept, right? Like, as I introduced this, I don't know if you have this experience, but when I introduce that concept to people and that this is part of their sobriety journey,
right,
they're like totally surprised. And oftentimes they'll come back and even sometimes argue with me a little bit about it. Well, I was with group and blah, blah, blah. And they were all saying that this is way above and beyond. And it's like,
it is, right?
It is, because this is where you want to go. And if you can't even manage your thoughts, how in the world are you going to manage and actually not be acting out? Like, when you have this constantly in your brain 24/7, you're constantly getting these drips of all these chemicals.
Right.
And so I just, that's a thing. So if you aren't as familiar with that concept, go to our trust discussion episodes.
Yeah.
Where we talk about this, because this is an enormous component. It's really required to get solid, any kind of sobriety.
And I've underestimated it.
Yes.
And this is why we're talking about it now, because I'm learning that it's a bigger piece than I had thought. And by the way, the goal isn't to always manage. The goal is to manage a lot more than you were before, and most of the time.
Yes.
This isn't a perfection thing.
Right.
And that's why we got to be a little bit careful with it.
Very few things in life are perfection things.
Yeah. It's like, oh, don't ever look for more than 2 seconds at someone that you think is attractive ever again. That's not the goal. The goal is to be aware of how much you're doing this, and to align your desires with what you actually want.
Yeah.
And so here's an example to help illustrate this.
Can we just pause for a second? Because I really want to talk about that for a second. Because I think it's really critical when we're talking about, because again, this is the same as like, you're not ever going to like ever have like a little piece of sugar again ever in your life. Right?
Good analogy.
And again, it's not... I want to be so careful with this, because we get with spouses sometimes and they really, really, really want this recovery for their partner and for their relationship, and they want things to go well. And they can sometimes hyper focus on what's on this part of it. And I want to just talk about that for a minute, because this is really critically important that we're not hyper-focusing on this.
There's a reason in the trust discussions that we say you may not be able to do step 7, which is the manage report, because you might hyper-focus on step 7 and be doing well with the other things, but once in a while have a day where you don't,
manage,
and it feels like it's all coming apart, at least to the spouse.
Yes. And but this is different. This is managing your thoughts. And so I'd like you as a spouse to think about all the ways that you do not perfectly manage your thoughts in all of the aspects of your life. Okay? Like, we think a lot of things in our heads that we don't act on. Right? Whether that's, I'm so angry at them that I just want to, you know, like, I mean,
I think I want to leave and get out of here and live in a cabin on a lake.
Yeah, he does. He really legitimately, David does.
But I don't.
But he doesn't do it. Responsibilities, different things, right? Like, there are so many things that we process through that is a space in our lives where we get to practice and practice and practice becoming better and becoming better. And and learn how to create from that space. You know, we will eventually create whatever we're doing up in our brain, but that's an eventually, right? And there is space to work on that and to create something new and different. And it takes more, it takes a lot of those experiences to move into the action part of that. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say? So if there are occasional slips in that, like not managing yourself, that would be a normal progression part, especially for a male brain, right? It's just a little bit different. Yeah. So I know we're kind of derailing our topic a little bit, but I think this is critically important. And it's not an excuse, like us saying that is not an excuse to say, well, I never have to manage now, right? That's right. Not what we're saying. And we're like, you will get really good at it,
right,
where it isn't very often, but it is probably going to happen. You know, I am super patient now. I have a lot of experiences and I have a lot of patience, and sometimes when I'm really tired and really frustrated, I will
not so much.
I will not be as patient. And I like had to tell my kids the other day, like, oh, you guys, I'm so sorry. I'm not being patient right now, right? It will still happen occasionally, right? It's not an excuse. It's part of a growth, and it's in your brain for a reason, so that you can practice and work on that. Okay, so big long tangent, but critically important to these concepts around desires as well.
Yeah.
What we're going to talk about. Because if you otherwise can hyper fixate, and you can go into a lot of shame around, oh, I don't perfectly desire this well enough to do the things, like we're going to end up in that same spot.
So there's a quote from someone speaking about desires, I agree with 100%, at least from my experience, that says that we determine by our desires the sizing and attractiveness of various temptations. In other words, we kind of set our thermostat as to temptations based on what we desire. Now, let me tie this back in. So a person coming in who says, I've done everything for a long time, and I need your help. Well, what do you need my help with? Exactly. I still struggle with acting out. Let's say pornography, masturbation. Okay. I'll ask them, kind of run me through your average day when you're not home, when you're out and about. Nobody sees you. Nobody's monitoring you. Nobody's tracking you. Like you're in public,
but nobody's tracking you.
Right.
Like people you don't know.
Right. And so let's say you're driving and you see someone who's triggering jogging, or you go to the store and you see someone who's attractive. Mm-hmm. It's what you do in those moments that really reflect where your desires are.
Yeah. Who are you when no one's watching?
Right. And I know you know this concept, right? It's from Proverbs. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it's not a new concept, but often we fool ourselves because we want it, and that's true, we really do.
We want good things.
We think it's the first chair desire, and it's really not. When we can, let's say, follow you around with a camera and know your thoughts, you would show us probably otherwise. It is there, but there's also this other desire that is very strong. Yeah. And it's kind of unfair because you get little chemical releases and...
Yeah, that reinforce it. I mean,
your brain
is
working against you for sure. And it's just like sugar. Yep. It's really hard.
Yep, it's really hard.
And so the point isn't that you're in trouble, that this desire isn't stronger. The point is to be aware that it may not be where you think it is. And you might find more success...
The desire for recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in this case, even specifically, let's say virtue over lust.
Mm-hmm.
Like you might find that your desire for virtue is not stronger than your desire for the satisfaction or gratification that you receive from lusting.
Yep.
Not a you're in trouble thing.
Yeah. Just to ponder and reflect,
or you're bad. Definitely
or
not.
Wrong.
Because it's a very natural thing. I mean, right. It's just super natural.
Yeah. How many of us are running around eating way more sugar than we know we should be? Like, my hand is raised.
For sure.
Right?
And so, these episodes are meant to just help you to see that perhaps there's another angle here that will make a difference as we focus on desire and where our desires might be and if they're where we think they are. We assume that's where they are.
Yes.
But then if I'm out and about and I'm looking at somebody for a lot longer than I need to be, and certainly by the criteria of what is managing or not I am, why is that? Exactly. Yes. Can I be honest with myself and say, what do I want here? Am I telling myself, but this won't lead to acting out, right? But then what if I have a day where there's a lot of that, and now the idea is on my mind more, and I'm home alone, and I'm bored. Okay, now I might be in trouble.
Yes.
And so it's all connected.
Absolutely. I think that I love what you're saying, that sometimes what we think is there, because we legitimately do have a part of us that wants that.
For sure.
Right? And a big part, right? And yet, is it first chair?
Yeah.
Is it pulling ahead? Is it in the lead all the time? And yeah, I think going back to that, as you are thinking, right? Like our, what we are thinking in our brain eventually comes out, and we manifest that eventually.
Right. And again, I love the analogy of these two race cars. So picture this. Let's call them lust and virtue. You can use different words, and that's fine. They're neck and neck. We want virtue to pull ahead and increase its lead over time. Mm-hmm. Now, I know what you're thinking. This sounds great. In fact, it really has my wheels turning, and I think you're onto something.
Mm-hmm.
But how? How do we increase our desire? Well, we're going to spend some time talking about that, and I actually think that this can be really helpful. But we just want to introduce the idea that addiction, at least in terms of a lot of different kinds of addiction, again, it's not so much an action problem, it's a desire problem and a thinking problem.
Yeah.
The action just follows through
on right.
where our desires and thinking are.
Yep.
And we know, and you know, you're probably an expert at this if you've listened to our podcast. So we want to desire light and truth and virtue more than what the acting out accomplishes for us. Well, what does the acting out accomplish for us? If it's sexual addiction.
So many things.
If it's sexual addiction, we know it's at least two big ones. Number one, we're avoiding or escaping negative or uncomfortable thoughts, emotions, and situations.
Yep.
And you think about the last couple of times you've acted out, and it'll be you felt overwhelmed or bored or lonely or stressed or something that was uncomfortable. Okay, so it's about at least that, and two, the desire for excitement, arousal, and stimulation, and the sense of acceptance or intimacy that that can bring to us.
Yes.
And so not only are you escaping something negative that's uncomfortable that you don't want to feel, it also feels good. And you can be seeking the feeling good as well.
Yep. It can be, one or both, right? It can include both of them at the same time.
Definitely.
And of course, then there's a million layers underneath that. Like, okay, well, why are you bored or sad or tired now? Is this like, you know, past trauma? Like all the things, right? And that goes back to our list of like the equation, right, to sobriety. And so this is this one aspect of it, but it's super important for us to really pay attention to, okay, where are things at here? And is this part that really wants the lust bigger?
Right. Because again, like the client we talked about before, where I asked, well, what did you look at today? Did you look longer than you needed to, should have, whatever? Well, yeah, I did. Okay. So you want both to not have this issue and to experience the pleasure and escape of the sexual experience.
Yes.
You just have to be more real with yourself about what you want most.
Yeah.
Because that is the competing desire. Just like, mm-hmm. I want to be healthy. And my daughter, bless her heart, she's a good cook. She just whips up potato soup. I came home the other night and I was hungry and there was this thing in the fridge and I opened it up and my wife said, oh yeah, Carmen made that today, potato soup. And it was delicious and she didn't follow a recipe or anything.
Uh-huh.
And it had potato and ham and it was creamy. It was awesome. Well, she also made brownies, bless her heart. So after the potato soup, it wasn't just so hard for me to resist. I didn't resist. Now look, I desire being healthy and fit.
Yes, right?
So it's not that I don't, but I also desire sugar and those treats. And so we just have to be honest with ourselves.
Yes.
Which do we desire most? And that's why it's a neck and neck race, because they swap leads.
Yeah.
If I'm doing my dailies more consistently, now think about the application with recovery. Or group, or sponsor work, or journaling, or all the things we've talked about in these podcasts. If I'm doing those things, virtue in this case is ahead, and I'm building the lead.
Right.
But if I'm stressed, overwhelmed, haven't been doing these things, didn't have a good day, so tired, and those brownies are just looking at me. Well, guess what? Then lust, let's say in this example, would be out ahead. So just
lusting for brownies.
Yeah, for sure. Just want to introduce this concept of you may find more progress and movement with a focus on desires and training and educating your desires more than a lot of other things that you might have been focusing on.
Yep.
And honestly, it just may be you're more ready for this because of the other work you've done too.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Right? It just might be, oh, here's a next step piece.
Because it's not like this all by itself without other things is going to magically take care of everything too. But it's a big one.
Yeah.
Like these examples of we've done everything but still seem like we can't figure it out.
Yeah. And I think we do that. We kind of push to the back of our head that, oh, it's not really, you know. And we have to be willing to say, okay, no, like in the moment, catch ourselves, in the moment, address, what do I really want now, right now, and be honest about it.
Yeah.
Because if we're not, there's zero chance we're going to make progress and movement.
Right.
But when we start being really honest about it, even if the first couple times it's like, yep, really want the brownie.
I want the brownie more.
I want it more. Right? Then we're starting to get honest and we're starting to see things clearly. And then we can start the process of being able to say, hey, I think I'm wanting this other thing more and I need to start paying attention to why.
Yeah.
What I'm getting out of it, how it's like feeding me or helping me, and start healing and working on those things to allow that desire for the virtue to take off.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to keep spinning your wheels, going to group, doing your dailies sometimes, like and most of the time, maybe even, but like...
Your underlying desire will betray you over and over again, and you'll say, why aren't these things working? And I'll say, hey, did you see someone attractive today? Well, yeah. Did you look more than you needed to? Well, yeah. Okay, then.
Yep.
These things will not work against what you want most. That's almost the definition maybe of white knuckling. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
You're doing it for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. And again, just like David said, doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Not at all.
Doesn't mean you're in trouble.
Hey, you're in the game just thinking about this stuff.
Yeah. Good for you. Awesome. Let's look at it and see where you're at and where you can move from there once you're being fully honest with yourself.
Yep.
right? And we're going to go home and I'm going to look at the brownies and think that I have to go through a process of that as well, right?
But you want to be healthy, don't you?
But you, you want to be healthy, don't you? Yeah, exactly. I want to be healthy and, ooh, right? I want
both. Yep.
But when we're really being honest, right, I think that's one of the big things that that those other parts, or if you want to call it, you know, the adversary, if you want to call it your protector part or whatever, they just want that to fly under the radar, right? Like, oh, right. We just don't want to think about that because then they can maintain the power.
Yep. So we are going to get more specific. How mm-hmm. do I educate these desires? How do I want to be healthier over eating that? How do I love virtue over the benefits and rewards of lust? So stay tuned.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.